Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
This call is being recorded.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. As always, I'm joined by the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
And we are a great spot. We got a special guest today, and I'm not really a special guest, but we got his presence, the champ himself, Champ Creed, is with us today. What's up, Champ? Thanks for gracing us today on the show, man.
I was going to change my name, but I forgot what I was going to change it to. Oh, damn it. Not a good start.
Nah, it's due for it. It's time to do for the name change, man.
Well, you can't change it to unforgettable, can you?
Definitely can't do that. Hey, well, let's tell you what's not unforgettable was news, breaking news today. Breaking news today, the AEW deal with TNT is finally done with Turner Corporation. That TNT
Warner
will
Media,
have.
Let's be straight. It's Warner Media. It's a
conglomerate. I know it's Warner Media, but I'm old school. It's Warner Media. I'm old school. Hey, to me, it's still Turner Network, TNT. Ted Turner still getting the paycheck and getting some money behind it. Warner Media, to be politically correct, with TNT to have a deal that this fall they will be broadcasting on the TNT network. Hey, what's your guys' thoughts about that? AEW finally got a TV deal.
Well, it had already been being talked about, you know, but they did get a deal, and it's in now. And did they announce the day? I heard Tuesday was the rumored day, but is that official now? Or
I don't know if Tuesday is official as of yet, but, you know, it looks as
they're leaning towards Tuesday because SmackDown's moving to Friday, and they didn't want to compete with them, so they're going to take that Tuesday time slot.
Can we talk about that
really quick and then flip back to AEW? Can we talk about SmackDown on a Friday? I mean, I really want to know, was that as weird as that day sounds, I guess, because people who may go out on Fridays, if I'm not mistaken, I guess it was successful on Fridays when it was there?
Yeah, but when it was there on Friday, it was there before, it was there before people really went to football games. It was there before DVRs. It was there before things got jumping on Friday. So, to me, I don't think Friday's a good day, especially in the fall time, when you have all these people who are going to high school football games throughout the country who are wrestling fans.
What I'm wondering about, like, was it truly successful, or was it just
it was okay?
Well, here's what I think. From a programming standpoint, it's going to start off on Fridays, but I don't think it's going to stay on Fridays.
I don't think so either. I 100% agree. I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think they'll start it out there because of the positioning of the time of year that it is. It's in the fall. They're going to test it out. Then you got the holidays. And then I think come January, once they figure out, like, the other shows that they're going to have on, then they're going to move it to another day in the middle of the week.
But once we also look at Fridays, too. Friday, most times, if people don't know, the wrestler usually gets Wednesday, Thursday off. Friday starts the weekend where they start doing the live event shows. So it coincides with that. So now a live event show can be on Friday, which now could be a taped SmackDown, and then you continue to travel throughout the weekend.
It's going to be live or taped on Friday?
Oh, it's going to be live, brother.
It's going to be live on Friday?
Fox didn't spend $1 billion. Fox didn't spend $1 billion for a tape. I'm sorry, y'all.
I was going to say, you good point. They didn't spend that amount of money on a tape show, but are they trying to turn this into, like, the thing to do on Friday night when we're in your town? Like, is that what the strategy is?
You know what? That's a great point. Like, is that what they're changing themselves into? Is WWE the it thing to do on Friday night? Is that what they're trying to change? That's a great point.
It is. The show will be live. I'm sorry. I didn't spend $1 billion for a tape show in a day of the internet and spoilers and everything like that. That means your ratings will go down even worse. People will read it. Okay, I'm not watching. This is Friday night. I'm going out. Oops. I'm not watching this.
Yeah, you know what? I was guilty of that, too. I did that a lot. I was like, I'm not watching. Like, and you got to figure at that time, I was in my early 20s when SmackDown was coming on Friday night. I wasn't staying in the house watching that. I wasn't. So.
Yeah. It will be a live show.
That's going to be interesting. That's why I was wondering. But you know what else, too? And I think I want to say maybe either I saw it somewhere or maybe Champ Creed maybe touched on it. One of y'all touched on it. What does that do for the big four pay-per-view weekends? Because that was a big thing for them to run and cost-efficient for them to run the same building four nights straight or, you know, or in WrestleMania. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They would have to run that city four nights straight. Now what happens to that? Because essentially Friday, and especially the SmackDown before WrestleMania, essentially becomes null and void because that Friday it's gonna go back to what they used to do when it was on Thursdays, and I think Fridays they would just keep a show from Access and just air that. And I mean, I guess, but it's like
you get that live throughout crowd. But at least it cuts down on your travel schedule, Wizard. You can actually go home on Tuesday morning now.
Yeah, that was gonna say, you're exactly right. The only other thing I can think of is if they you can't do that for WrestleMania weekend, especially the SmackDown after. That's the only thing I can think of is that are they gonna take, because that's just weird. That cuts into their money. But, yeah, I get to go home a day early.
Yeah, it cuts into their money because you read it now. The way they have it now, the Hall of Fame, you got NXT, which they flip-flop from Friday to Saturday, Saturday to Friday, whatever case. We don't know if they're going to keep that the same. But they will have something on Friday night. They will have something on Saturday night. So you're looking at SmackDown being taped or being live. Well, they might just film live from Access on Friday night and give you 2 hours.
Yeah, no, you're right.
A 2-hour live show on Access on Friday for those who don't go to either the Hall of Fame or go to, you know, NXT, whichever one's split.
They don't.
Yeah. You look at
like,
that there.
Champ Reed here, he doesn't. So.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't.
I'm messing with him. He doesn't. But he was there at shows.
Yeah, but what there. I like, though, what I like on Friday night, though, is it gives them opportunity if AEW becomes competition, all right? It becomes competition. Friday night gives WWE a opportunity to combat anything AEW does on Tuesday. They can do a SmackDown. Which has a better roster than Raw right now? Well, if they stay that way.
I mean, I hear you, but it's like, okay, like, does WWE really, do they really have to do anything? I mean, because they're not running on the same night. I mean, we're right back to AEW. If they're not running on the same night, does WWE really have to do too much, you know, as far as counteracting anything?
Not the numbers, but I think the numbers start to slip, you'll start seeing, because if you go back to, and I don't want to call it the Attitude Era, I don't want to say this is a Monday Night War or whatever the case may be, but they started doing things kind of similar or things that would attract the audience. And, you know, you have the AEW on TNT. When it first opens up, it's going to have a certain type of crowd. It's going to be a big demographic of crowd that's coming in there, the rebel cultural, the casual fan, the hardcore fan. Everybody's going to start watching it. But the question I think Champ always asks, what do you do? What do AEW do to keep the fans? And can they build stars other than household names? I mean, to make them household names. Because AEW is going to have to build stars.
Here's the other thing, too, which I'm sure Champ will probably agree with. What is their sustainability as far as weekly shows? Are they going? What buildings are they going to be running? Because I can't. And you know, this is not knocking them, but I'm. You know, these are factual questions. Like, what buildings are they going to be running? Because I can't imagine them running arenas every week.
No. Here's what I read. I read that they have shows set up for June and July, and they're going to do monthly shows leading up to I guess they're going to debut in, what, October, November, or what, I can't. What
it just says fall right now. Like I said, October.
This fall?
October, I think.
Okay, so they're going to, yeah, they're going to do monthly shows. Okay. And then once the fall season kicks off, they'll do weekly shows. It's not going to be, they're not doing the Georgia Dome. They're not going to do Madison Square Garden. They're going to do smaller venues, like I say, maybe theaters, arenas.
Speaking of the Garden, I heard WWE this fall is supposed to be going back for Raw and SmackDown in the Garden this fall.
Yeah, I heard too.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I think AEW, they'll do anywhere between like a 5,000 and 10,000 seat place, maybe 12,500. I don't think they're going to do more than that because you don't want it to look bad, you know.
Yeah.
And as they build momentum. As they build momentum, they'll expand, or they may do the Eric Bischoff approach, you know, to which I got to say, a lot of people crap all over Eric Bischoff on social media, but his business acumen and his ability to spot trends.
They crap on
and,
him because they're not knowledgeable. Because that man was a genius in his own
way.
Yeah, you know?
And steer the business according to the trends that speak to economic profitability and expansion and recognition of the brand. Like, he did a phenomenal job with what he was given. And, you know, I just want to give him a shout out. And what he did when he saw the margins and they weren't selling, he put it in a central location where they could do TV tapings and they can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
To which they may want to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, to piggyback off the centralized location, he did it in one of the most toured attractions in the world. Of where he centralized it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, like people are gonna go just to go. Like people are in the park. You got people that were in the park that either were wrestling fans or they weren't wrestling fans, and they were just tired and just wanted to sit down somewhere and watch a show.
Right.
I mean, that was the other audience you would get it. I mean, the only problem with that was that oftentimes you had to throw on the applause meter, which they did. Because I'll never forget, they, I want to say, I forgot what who it was in the story. I want to say
was
maybe like a Rick Rude. I think Rick Rude came out or something on Worldwide, and he was getting cheered. And they had to edit it because either they edited it or they had him go back and he had to come back out and they had to kind of tell the crowd, hey, he's a bad guy, you got to boo him.
Right.
Because they didn't know. So that's the only problem they ran into. But, I mean, with it being a tape show, that's a risk I'd be willing to run if I can have a centralized location. And if I'm not mistaken, Champ Creek, you probably know, Glenn, you probably know as well, weren't they paid to run Disney and Universal? Weren't they paid to run those shows there? They didn't have to pay to run it. Yeah. They didn't have to pay.
And with those Saturday shows, they taped them a lot on Saturday. You listen to Stone Cold's
podcast.
No, but
that's what I'm saying. They didn't have to pay Universal and Disney.
No.
Disney and Universal paid them, right, to run
paid
that
them.
Show there, right?
Yeah, it paid them to run that show there. Looking at the AEW stuff, it looked like the show will be aired on Wednesday night, which I first thought anyway, because TNT on Tuesday night is basketball, Tuesday and Thursday.
Basketball,
I don't think they changed it to
be. Oh, yeah, good stuff.
I don't think they changed it.
Wednesday is ESPN. Wednesday night is ESPN for NBA.
Yeah,
so
it has to be Wednesday night.
That's AEW. Okay, because NXT is on the network, so that's safe.
It's on the network.
So
yeah, Wednesday night will be a good night. So I'm not mad at that neither. So, you know, but, you know, when you look at this deal and you look at it, and we talk about the Warner Media Group, you also got to throw the Bleacher Report in there too. All that's connected together, and I think this is what people are forgetting. And Bleacher Report, what the audience that AEW is trying to gravitate to, is a Bleacher Report crowd. You know what I'm saying? And so they can use all the tools that Bleacher Report can use and bring that together. So that's one of the things that, you know, it comes with the youth movement or the excitement or the grunge. New age of wrestling.
Hold on, didn't I say this like 3 months ago?
I gotta go back and check the tape.
I think I did. I said they were gonna sign with Warner and use Bleacher Report.
You might have. I gotta check the tape.
Yeah, I think I did. I did it because what you just said to me sounded so familiar, and I was like, wait a minute, that's what I said. They're gonna use the Bleacher Report program. You know what I just felt? I just felt as if I was Owen Hart and I just stared into the mirror and saw the blue blazer, G. So that's how I know I said what I said. So hey, moving forward.
Moving forward, you said what you said, but AEW finally got a deal. They're adding people daily, man. They're adding referees. So they're stacking the roster up. To me, you guys, I still don't think they have that big major star as of yet. They got good household names, but they don't have that major bombshell star. Jericho is good, but he's running on his last leg. Kenny Omega's coming up. We know Cody is a decent talker. We know we like the Young Bucks from the Indies. They don't have that major star. And maybe that's what the company don't want. Maybe the company doesn't want
But you know who it may be end up being, though? As weird as it sounds, it still may end up being Dean Ambrose. That's that main star. I think he's hot enough where if he remains low and doesn't, you know what I'm saying, and doesn't really put himself out there, you know, or appear on TV too much, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's at AEW. I'll give him credit. He's a big name. He is a big name. So it'd be him.
I got one better.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
But before I do that, let me set the table. So, Sunday night, Game of Thrones was watched on a premium cable channel by 18 million people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I remember when Monday Night Raw used to get, 10 million? What was it, 11 million, 9 million people watching? Remember
eight.
Those days?
Yeah.
8 mm-hmm. million? Yeah, around 8 million? What was the ratings for that Goldberg versus Hogan on TNT?
I got to look it up, but that was pretty big.
It was up there, right? So at that time, you know, you could get those numbers. Now everyone's attention span is spread apart and, you know, the multiple platforms, you got to factor in DVR. I don't think that there is a large base of wrestling fans that will come together to watch a television show at the clip of 8, 9, 10 million people, or 7 million, or maybe
well,
even
that,
5
those
million.
Those numbers will never be reached again anyway as far as wrestling, just because of the DVR feature now. It will never get those numbers again wrestling.
And it's just not the thing anymore.
It's not.
I'm setting the stage. And right now, the last household name or recognizable star that we had was John Cena, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he's on his way pretty much out the door, you know? What we have on televised SmackDown, what we have on televised Raw is them, WWE, trying to do the same thing in terms of build that next household name. So if you're looking at it from that standpoint, AEW has picked the right time to try to build a household name, because outside of the brand recognition and the history, they're both trying to do the same thing, right? And with all of that being said, I think there is one person, I don't know if he's up for it or not, that if he were to go to AEW, he would tip the scale in terms of being that household name. And that person, his name is Phil, he's from Chicago.
Okay.
If he were to go to AEW right at this moment, at this minute, at this time, it would be the best revenge for him, because what he would do is legitimately put this competing company on the map from day one if he showed up.
Well, you know what? I'm going to piggyback off of that. It has to be unannounced. He either has to show up.
And it would have to be unannounced.
It has to be at Double or Nothing or at that very first TNT show. It's got to be one or the other.
I do the very first TV show. I wouldn't do Double Nothing. It's too far. To me, it's too far a time frame before TV.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Because you got a long stretch.
That's
now
smart.
You gotta...
That's smart. I can see that. That's smart. Because it'll be fresh enough to where you can get him. You won't have to be like, oh, you get CM Punk and then he's gone for a couple months because the TV show doesn't debut until September or something.
Right.
Okay. So I would, I can agree with that. Do it the first TV show. And so that way everybody can see it.
Everybody can see it. Because, you know, everybody's going to tune in and watch the first thing. Champ, back to your the Hogan and Goldberg, 10 million viewers.
Okay. That's what,
10,
okay, yep.
Mm-hmm.
It was 10 million viewers.
You know what? That's huge for 98. That's huge for July of 98 at that, because that's a summer. That was 4th of July.
That's a summertime.
That was 4th of July.
And like you, hold on. And like you say, G, you can't beat the sun.
You can't beat the sun, brother, because people want to be outside and watch that.
But like, that's 4th of July weekend. It's still light outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Monday. So
you know what's funny?
Traveling.
Yeah.
Hold on. I was outside having a damn good time. I went home upstairs to watch that. Like, I cut my day off. I made it my duty.
And you know what?
In the house
and
to
that's
watch that.
Crazy. Champ, you know why that's crazy, too? Because they announced, and I'll never forget that, you know, a lot of people count that as their detriment, too, that.
Yeah.
They announced they didn't put it on pay per view, and they announced it literally 3 days before.
Right, mm-hmm. And they still drew 93,000 people.
Well, you mean 39,000?
I mean 39,000 people. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. What'd you say? What did he say?
Hey,
I tried to get you out of that one, Gio. But
I know.
Yeah,
I know. Hey,
he caught
no,
you.
No, I missed
he
it.
Said 93,000. He said 93,000.
I pulled the Superdome situation.
Did he did he break the Superdome record?
Hey, but I mean, they drew a lot of people, and like you said, people said they didn't make no money off of it because that pay per view would have sold tremendously.
I mean, if they had put that on pay per view, that would have been huge. If they had put that on pay per view, but they literally they did that with no build, no storyline. There was
and
no storyline
no,
going into that.
No
build,
no storyline,
no
social media, no internet. I mean, no social media, but you had internet.
Right.
But you know what? That's
internet was in its infant stages. It was still,
right.
Internet at best, mainstream, was still only about 3 years old. So, at that time in 98. So, yeah, no.
Word of mouth, the 900 hotlines and all that type stuff was really kicking it up, you know?
Yeah, it pretty much, if you didn't watch Thunder, you didn't know because they announced it on Thunder, in which you got to give WCW credit. They, you know, and Eric Bischoff, because he was able to get 2 more hours of prime time, you know, on the opposite station. He was covering all bases because Thunder was on TBS, and then he had Nitro on TNT.
Yeah, you know, he didn't really want that Thunder on TBS because he knew it was going to be the downfall. And that's coming from him. He knew it was going to be downfall. He knew he couldn't get the Hogans and the Nashes and all those big names on the TBS show. So, you know, but we'll see how, you know, to me, I think AEW has learned from WCW. I think those that involve, they have smart minds involved. And I think I'm looking for success from the company. I mean, even today with the Flames and AEW wrestling back on TNT really made people throw back a little bit. And I think some of the older fans are going to come back to wrestling because of this. My thing is, I want to see what are their parameters and guidelines on TNT? What can they do? What can't they do?
I think it'll be a little bit more than PG, but yeah, they got sponsors. They still got to get sponsors at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They still got to get sponsors.
It'll be standard.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, and champ on the move is something that you said, which is definitely true. With all the bad publicity WWE is getting right now, whether it's with Ryback, whether it's because of Lars Sullivan, whether because employees don't want to come to work, Sasha Banks, and you know, and people, you know, she's living her best life, man. She doesn't have the hair color no more. She's enjoying life, but I'm not mad at it, you know. But
she took the weave out.
Yeah, she's black.
She got rocking her black hair, brother. she's enjoying herself. So with all the bad publicity and stuff, it is the right time for AEW kind of slip in and probably draw some of those wrestling fans, because you have a lot of people now who are just not satisfied with the WWE product, whether it's writing, whether it's storylines, whether it's just there's nothing, don't have the patience to hit the reset button. So we're at a point now, if as a new wrestling company, to try to create buzz, this opportunity to kind of, I ain't say knock the king over his throne, because this company's been around 50 years, but at least to make an impact. And there's no pun intended.
Make an impact.
Yeah.
That was funny.
You know, so your thoughts on that? I mean, just the problems with WWE. What can they do to right the ship that they're going down, the road they're going down right now, and who can help them solve the problem?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough. Well, that's tough.
Damn sure on EC3.
Nah, it ain't EC3. Definitely ain't that. But, I mean, look at some of the big stars. You got Roman, who's still there big. We know Braun Strowman just gave up his spot. So whatever he was doing or whatever he's not doing in the locker room, he's shooting himself in the foot. Seth Rollins right now is not the man they want him to be. You know, Finn Balor.
Okay. I see what
you're saying. You know, so what, you know, hey, what, where are they going right now? And who's that major, who's the major star? Champ Trump or John Cena? We knew Cena was the A-plus player. Who's the A-plus player right
not
now?
Not at the time. I mean, you knew he was a star, but, hey, I will always stick to this. Batista was the guy at that time. It wasn't Cena. It was in 05, it was Batista, and it wasn't even close.
I give you that. Batista was.
It wasn't until. It really. It was separating, but it wasn't really until Batista got hurt. When he got hurt and had to give up the championship, that hurt him because Cena skyrocketed from there. He was the only star. They didn't have to focus on anybody else. It was him. And that's it.
Yo, can that guy be AJ Styles? Can AJ Styles be the one that can put the WWE on his back?
No.
And I love AJ, but he doesn't translate to anybody past Maryland. Sorry. it's the TNA stigma. I mean, everything's honestly, and I'm not even trying to be funny, but it's like everything south of the Mason-Dixon line, he's good. Everything past.
You sound like Vince. He didn't want JR to use his accent. I can't sell in the Northeast region.
sadly, it's the truth though. Had he been always a WWE guy, it'd be different. But the fact that he's coming from TNA, from the Indies, it's just. That's who he is because WWE couldn't change him. You know what I'm saying? Once he came into the WWE, you can't repackage him and market him as somebody totally new because everybody knows he's AJ Styles. But because that's who he was brought up as, it was like, okay, what else can you do?
But, I mean, again, so who is that guy? I mean, no one's really replaced Cena. Roman Reigns, we know he had a hiatus because of the sickness, because of the battle with leukemia, and that came into remission. But he hasn't even gone back to where he was at prior to leaving.
Wait a minute, you said what now?
I said Roman Reigns was adopted to be the next star after Cena. Cena passed the torch to Roman Reigns, quote unquote, end quote. Roman Reigns left because of leukemia. He's back now, but he is not a main eventer. I mean, in that sense, I'm not talking about he is a main eventer as far as wrestling wise, but as far as taking
the bull by the horns, I know what you mean.
He's not the same guy. So who
well,
is that
not
guy?
Now.
Well, wait. He's not now, yeah, but wait. He's going to be in Fast and Hobbs and Shaw. He's going to be in the Rock Fest movie, so that's going to give him a rub in the summertime in August, to which I think that will be a good thing to get him back to that level of heat, that level where he was in terms of being, like, the guy. But, bro, like, I still don't think that I just don't think that it's going to come from anyone that we see right now. I don't think anyone is going to
That kind of next guy is that next guy.
It's probably NXT.
He's still in NXT. He's the North American champion.
Yeah.
That's who the next guy is. I'm just saying.
Who's this? Who are we talking about?
The Dream,
you know
baby.
Who he is. The Dream.
I'm not. The guy that I picked on Tough Enough to maximize his full potential. Yes, him.
Alternate
yes,
universe.
Him.
Got it.
I will say, I think Patrick is going to be a star, and with the current climate of politics, I think he will get a boost. I think I look at things as the wrestling world and then the mainstream world, right? The mainstream world, which wrestling shares with, like, you know, Comic-Con and cosplay and video games and all that thing, I just don't see anyone right now that has the the gimmick, the presentation, the mic skills, the charisma, the I'm not even going to count in-ring ability because I always say Hogan had 4 or 5 moves, you know, and mm-hmm. Ultimate Warrior had about 5 or 6 moves. So it doesn't take all of that, you know, all of the hot spots and all that other stuff. Yo, I'm going to say this now, man. I think they need to fast track this Eric Bugenhagen dude, man. Like,
No. Let him be the next crop of stardom in NXT when some of the other people come up. Because if you
can they fast track him in NXT? Star,
yeah, that'll give you. Yeah, that I can give you.
Okay.
He's in the NXT opener, at least, so they acknowledge him.
Yeah, because this is the only guy that I've randomly seen, you know, like, yo, like, the dude has it. Like, that unintangible, unnameable quality thing that you can rarely find, he has it. He may not be the best ring technician, but damn it, he has it.
Well, here's the problem,
and that's
though.
What you want.
Here's the problem, though. If they end up signing Joey Ryan,
boy, you just took the words right out of my mouth. Him and Joey Ryan look just alike.
Exactly alike. And it's like, they signed Joey Ryan, I see where the investment's going to go. Eric might take a back seat, my dude.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does he have the mic skills and all those other intangibles?
Joey Ryan is a big deal. My bad.
I got to slap myself upside the head. I remember Joey Ryan. If they sign Joey Ryan, he's another guy. I remember him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The king of sleeves.
Yeah. He's the guy that came out with the penis, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Yeah. He came out with the penis. The thing is, Joey Ryan may not take no money because what WWE has offered him, allegedly, as before said, it was less than what he was making on the indies. So he to kind of turn them down.
Yeah,
so.
But it's also a, from what I'm also hearing, it's a job security type of deal too, because they only want him to wrestle a couple of years maybe, and then they were going to turn him into a trainer. That's ultimately what they're trying to, in which it's probably just a ploy to keep him off of AEW, but that's ultimately what they're trying to do.
I mean, if he wants to look at job security and his bump count, and he wants to be able to have more money at the end of the day, being a trainer in NXT is not a bad gig.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Not a bad gig at all. And so,
do the trainers at NXT, are they classified as employees and get benefits and all those things?
You know, I would assume so. Because they're not out there performing.
Well, there you have it then. I'd take that deal.
Yeah, they're not out there performing. They are WWE employees. They're not independent contractors.
Yeah, they're not independent
contractors.
Those are your employees, which goes to our next point of independent contractors, which Ryback, this week, we know we talked about in our group chat this week, WWE tried to shut Ryback down because of his being very outspoken about WWE and independent contractors and wanting health insurance for the guys and girls in the back. Some of his friends, as he say, that's in the business, he said he no longer works for the company, but he doesn't mean that he can't fight for those who want to be unionized, for those that want health insurance and those that want to be able to be taken care of by WWE, which I think if you get hurt within a WWE, we've seen it several times, they usually take care of most of people's bills when they're hurt within the ring. Which employees do. Now, outside of the ring, you cover your own health insurance. I might, you know, so I can see where that goes. And that's the only thing, my biggest thing with the independent contractor deal, with those guys is that the fact that they are wrestlers and whatever insurance they do pay will be at a high premium because of the
insurance. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is.
Hold on. Y'all want to know something? And we talking about this next superstar thing, whatever. You know who really messed up? Enzo.
Absolutely.
He could have been like the guy, man.
The writing was on the wall though, Champ, because I mean, as far as him being a next star, because spade to spade, 205 was floundering. Even under Neville, as great as Neville is, nobody was watching it. Enzo gets the belt. They're in the main event segment of Raw. It was a big deal. He was a big deal.
That's crazy.
But it goes back. It goes back to what I always said. And I think I said one of you guys, it might have been Brian. Brian East Waters from Breaking Down Brian H. That I said, if you look at the guys that we talk about, most people like, they have a good stick on the mic. When you can talk on the mic, and when you can put butts in seats, and when you can make get emotion from the fans, then you can be a superstar. I don't see that person right now in the WWE. And I dare not say they wasn't writing in Enzo's stuff. If they did write his stuff, he went off the cuff a lot of times.
Oh, nah, that was him. Nah, that was him. Nobody's that hip. I'm sorry. Nobody on their creative is that.
Nobody on creative because they're not up to that level of swag. I don't.
Yeah, know. Nah, they're not. They're not. And that was. I'm sorry. That's what ultimately, you know, put Enzo on with so many people, was that his swag was believable to the people. You know, and no offense to anybody, but people who aren't as swagged out as others. They thought Enzo was the coolest guy in the world. And people who have swag were like, his swag wasn't fake because they could relate to it. It was relatable. Enzo was coming out in, you know, fashionable attire. He had different J's on every week. And it was like, yo, like, okay, I can relate to this dude. He was relatable. He was the cool guy. All the people who, you know, aren't as cool, you know, they're still cool. Everybody's cool, but not as cool as Enzo. They're looking at Enzo like, oh, that's the cool guy. And the people who are maybe a little bit cooler,
the
AEW like, okay,
crowd.
Nope,
fits that,
I'm not
he
saying
fits that,
that
mold. No, I ain't saying he's going to AEW, but I'm saying he fits that mold for that crowd because they break the rules. They don't go into society. Enzo did what Enzo did because Enzo was able to break outside of WWE norm and people like outside of the WWE norm. He didn't
now,
fit
you
into
know
that
what?
Mold.
Enzo and AEW, here's why I think that would work. Here's why I think that would work, because he'd be such of the resistance of what people would want in AEW. They would legit hate him then. And he'd draw so much money because people would literally pay to go get him, see him get beat.
Get his ass
whooped. Dare I say, maybe I'd put this out there. Dare I say, he'd be the Roddy Piper of AEW.
I'm gonna take it one step further. Minus the wrestling ability, he'd be the road traveling version of Ric Flair in the 80s.
Minus
the wrestling ability, because the swag that was popping then, you got to fast forward it to the swag now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and shout out
that
to
type
Rick
of,
because
that,
Rick has transcended type. Decades.
Yes.
He has been cool to every generation.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the No, I don't think anybody else. I mean, Rock, but Rock was so late. It's like, and Rock's not relatable now. There are people who weren't even born when Flair had his last championship. Flair won his last championship in 2000, his last world championship. There are people who watch now that weren't even born when he won his last championship that know who Ric Flair is and think and talk about how cool he is.
Yeah, because he crosses over into the sports world, NFL, he crosses over into rap. He crosses over to everything. Everybody understands. Everybody knows Ric Flair. You're not a wrestling fan.
And we,
you can go to
and
a
we
crowded
don't
room
have a guy.
Right. But you can go to a crowded room of country folk, African-American folk, Chinese folk, and you break out with a woo. Everybody in there will go woo back.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have that now. There's no one.
Yeah,
there's no one on the roster that – and you know what? Okay, let's say there's two. Let's say there's two people on the roster from the main roster to NXT to in the Performance Center right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
The structure is so built to be homogenized that that person would be stripped of that very one thing that they could do to make them global like that. Because the structure of the company is not built for individuality. it's built to maintain the image of and the direction of where the machine wants it to go. So in essence, we will never get another person like that with the way that they do things. Like the last person that came close to that was CM Punk, and look what they did with him.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of that was just being disgruntled and Hunter didn't know how to use it. But I mean, think about it. There's nobody who has a catchphrase right now like Enzo did either. There's no one that the fans really interact with like that. Daniel Bryan was the last one with the yes movement, but they shot that down. Well, which I like the Daniel Bryan who's a heel now. But when Enzo and them first came out, Corey, you was there. That night they debuted on Raw after WrestleMania, it was definitely in that building.
That was crazy. That was crazy. Wait, where was this again?
Who's this?
Texas. Smoothie King?
No, it was Texas.
Wait, the Raw in Texas after Mania? In Dallas,
yes.
Right?
Dallas.
Okay.
American Airlines.
I think I was there, right? Was I?
I can't remember, but I know
that. Yeah, I think I was there. Yeah, I think I was there. It was crazy. I remember. Yeah, it was crazy, man.
And so, but he could be able to talk on the mic, and that's the problem. Now, even go back to the conversation we had earlier, AEW needs that person, and Kenny Omega can be that guy. It may not be that guy, but they need somebody who's able to talk, able to get the fans heat. Enzo has instant heat wherever he goes. He creates his own heat.
Yeah.
And, you know, and watching the Dark Side of the Ring, he's like a Gino Hernandez. In terms of the heat that Enzo gets, he doesn't care about the heat. He wants the heat. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He wants the heat. Ric Flair back in the day, at the heyday, Ric Flair wanted the heat. He wanted you to hate him because he could steal your girl. Enzo can talk so much trash and he can't back it up, but he talks so much trash, you want to see him get his butt. You willing to pay to see him get his butt with, just like Floyd Mayweather. You willing to pay to see Floyd lose before it always wins. You know, people pay to see Conor McGregor get beat up. You know, so Enzo, that guy, for butts and seats, just, and that's a true heat thing. When you get people to pay to see you get beat up. That's where he's at. And so that's what WWE has to create. The new star has that guy to come up to be a heat seeker. Or, as I always say, you have to, if you want to be a true heat seeker, you take somebody who has a little bit of heat and they do something dangerous or bad to your baby face, i.e. Four Horsemen beating up Dusty Rhodes in the parking lot with baseball bats and chasing them down with the car.
Mm-hmm.
create real heat, you know, stuff like that. But talking about heat right now, WWE has a wrestler, Lars Sullivan, who has much heat right now. Based off his comments, WWE, and I use quotation marks, you can't see me, has fined Lars Sullivan $100,000 and put him into sensitive training or anger management class, sensitive training classes, according to reports. Fellas, what's your thoughts on this Lars Sullivan situation? Because he disrespected everybody on the roster, whether he was African-American, whether he was a Latino-American, whether he was a woman, whatever it is, whatever. If you're homosexual, he disrespected everybody on the roster. And yet WWE just slapped him with a fine. And he works with the company. Hulk Hogan was just the ambassador for the company at the time. And he gets blackballed for a couple of years. Your thoughts?
Well, Wiz, are you still on? Oh, I think the Wiz dipped off. I'm here. Oh, you're here? Oh, okay. All right.
Here.
Go ahead. No, I haven't, like, heard or read the comments, what have you, so I can't really weigh in on it. But if it's as bad as everyone says that it is, then, I mean, I think a suspension should be due, but they put so much energy, effort, and money and screen time into him. I think, like you said, that 100K is kind of like, what was the term you used? PR?
Yeah, PR.
Yeah, one of you guys.
He ain't never going to get paid. We will never see receipt of him paying 100K.
Here's the thing, you know, I was going to say, just to piggyback on the last thing about Enzo earlier, was that y'all should have heard that Enzo was getting at Wale Mania. When he was up there rapping, you know, I could tell, it was brutal. Not necessarily his rap, but just the reaction he was getting, like, that was legit heat because you ain't have all wrestling fans in there. So you had real hip hop fans in there that was like, I heard Bama's over there. I was like, yo, get this cat off the stage. You know how y'all are up there. I was like, yo, get this cat off the stage, man. Like, yo, people were not happy. And, you know, I mean, I can't rap. So I'm not one to judge and be like, okay, wait, listen, I couldn't go up there and do what he did. So I'll
well,
put it
look,
in that.
Well, hold on. Hold my beer. I can rap. And I can say that all his stuff I heard is trash, bro.
I can't rap music, though. I'm in the same boat with you.
But no, but back to as far as Lars, here's the thing with that. I think, as G-Lo said, they and Chant Cree said, because they've invested this time and energy, that this guy is, you know, 6'7", 6'8", 330 pounds or whatnot. He's exactly what they're looking for in an intimidating guy. Dare I say, they're probably trying to fill him in the Kane shoes. He's pretty much like the next installment of what they want, in essence, a new Kane to be. But with what Hogan did, got him a 3-year banishment, and you know they just rolled him off of everything. Lars is, from what I've seen, if that's what he was saying, Lars is just as bad, if not worse. I don't think he dropped no N-word or nothing, but it was like, it was pretty much along the same lines of it, you know, for what he was saying. That was bad. I mean, it's, I guess because Hogan was more expendable considering he's not an on-air talent anymore to wrestle, and they can't really get too much out of him, I guess. And because that, and the stature of what his name was as far as Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Go ahead. No, I got a better comparison.
If he were sterling gold and those things dropped, whatever, he would get a $100,000 ban too.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to him being the immortal Hulk Hogan, you know what I'm saying? So
yep,
it's the same thing with
exactly
Lars. Lars is
getting to.
Yeah, Lars is just lucky that no one knows him at this point. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
Right. Because if he was former, you know, 4-time heavyweight champion, the phenom Lars Sullivan or something, you know, yeah, there'd be problems. But he's not. He's NXT call up Lars Sullivan. So they're kind of, you know, they're taking their handle it the way they're handling it.
Hey, all right. Let's go to this real quick. Before we wrap this thing up, Money in the Bank this weekend. Give our predictions for Money in the Bank. Pay-per-view that's coming up this weekend. What we have.
You need to cash in on a microphone, man.
I know, man. I know, fellas. Trust me. I'm trying to multitask right now in this situation. So we hope
you
want to
raise your phone?
I put the flip phone away last week. So I'm working on something else right now. So, but anyway,
right.
we got Daniel Bryan taking on Daniel Bryan and Rowan taking on the Usos. Who you got?
It's Bryan and Rowan. Well, you know what? I'm gonna say Bryan and Rowan, but with stuff like this, you really don't know. For some weird reason, they could really give the Usos this. I don't know. And I only say that because I don't see another team right now, unless you're really going to put heavy machinery in that position, that could take the belts off of Bryan and Rowan right now. So it would have to be maybe an Usos coming over and doing that. But in that same vein, do you take them right off of Bryan and Rowan right now? No, probably not. So, yeah, I'm going Bryan and Rowan.
Chat, what you got?
I got the same, Bryan and Rowan.
Yeah, me too. I got Bryan and Rowan. Then we got Tony Nese taking on Daivari for the Cruiserweight Championship 205, for the Cruiserweight Championship 205 match here on Money in the Bank. Who you got?
I'm going Tony Nese, and that's just because they they haven't built Daivari up to where this program looks like it's going to lead to him getting the belt. There was no long-term sustainability from what I can see. So, yeah, I'm going Nice.
Yeah, I'm going Tony Nice as well. Jim?
I don't have a dog in this race.
That's fair.
That's fair. All right, we got Samoa Joe taking on Rey Mysterio for the U.S. title. This been building up the last couple of weeks. We saw Rey Mysterio's son Dominic being put involved in this storyline. Is it time that Rey Mysterio gets the U.S. title, or Samoa Joe continue his reign as being dominant in WWE? With it?
This is interesting because this could very well be Rey Mysterio getting this for some reason, but I'm going to go Joe only because it's going to be something where Rey tries to save Dominic from danger and costs him the match. So I'm going to go Joe just for that reason.
Yeah, I'm going to go Joe as well. I will say, as much as we talk about the bad things, I'll talk about the good things. Rey and Cesaro had a very, very, very good match.
Yeah, they did.
On Monday night. Very good.
So you're going Joe. I go Joe.
I'm going with Joe, yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm definitely going with Joe. I think Joe definitely wins this one, hands down, over Rey Mysterio. We know they had a match at WrestleMania, and it was a quick match at WrestleMania, and Rey Mysterio was definitely hurt at the time. But I am definitely going Samoa Joe picks up the win over Rey Mysterio in this case. Let's see where we go next on this card. Let's go with this one. Kofi Kingston versus Kofi Kingston, Kevin Owens. Who do you have here? Will Kofi's reign end?
No, Kofi Kingston's winning it. Now, the way you tried to load that question just now, it may provide a different answer. But as far as that match, I'll put it this way. I don't see Kevin Owens walking out world champion. I don't. Now, whether it's Kofi or somebody else walking out as WWE champion, that's left to be seen. But I don't see Kevin Owens winning the championship. I'm going to answer like that.
I see Kofi winning, and I would hope that no one cashed in on Kofi so soon.
Right.
But, you know, stranger things have happened. So, but I'm going to go with Kofi, though.
This one's tough. I want Kofi. I definitely want Kofi to win at Money in the Bank. I want Kofi to remain champion. But I can see Kevin Owens pulling this off somehow. And I agree with you, Wizard, that he does pull it off. He may not walk out as champion. I'm going to go as far as the match concerned. I am going to go that Kofi Kingston wins the match. I'm not 100% sure that Kofi Kingston walks away as the WWE champion at Money in the Bank, but I think Kofi Kingston definitely wins the match here.
Yeah. That's where I'm at too. Absolutely.
Let's go ahead, Chad. I'm gonna go with your girl Becky Two Belts. Well, let's start with the Raw Championship match. Lacey Evans, Becky Lynch. Who do you have?
You know what? I got a. Where was that? Is that first? Is she fighting
we don't,
first and then Charlotte?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. I can't make my pick until I know the order of the card, because if it's last, then I think late. I can't call it.
I'm gonna make placement
of the match.
I'm gonna make a pick just solely based on the two matches.
And partly
because of news that came out this week, and it's changed my tune on things. Because originally I thought Lacey was definitely going to win the Raw Women's Championship. Now I don't think so. Now I absolutely think Becky beats Lacey, but Charlotte beats Becky. I think Charlotte takes the SmackDown Women's Championship back to SmackDown, and it's done. Because of the relationship now being official with Seth and Becky Lynch, I think Becky keeps the belt and stays on Raw.
Okay. I can live with that.
I hope I'm wrong, because I'd rather, honestly, it's just because it's Becky's first defense, she's not going to lose both, I don't think. I think had this been done later, had Becky had a pay-per-view or two under her defending already, and then she defended both belts, absolutely would think she would be losing both belts. I don't see her losing both belts on the first time. So one of she's going to keep one of them. And I think just by the nature of her relationship being with somebody on Raw now, she's going to keep the Raw belt, and she's going to lose the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Well, how about she loses the SmackDown one? So is Lacey on both brands, or is Lacey on just Raw?
No, Lacey is on Raw.
Lacey's on Raw.
So then, no. All right, so no then. So that it's going away.
And Lacey, Lacey's only fighting for the Raw Championship. That's the way they made sure in the contract signing, the way they always say is she's fighting for the Raw Championship. Charlotte is fighting for the SmackDown Championship.
Okay, all right. Then I see it that way.
Yeah, so I definitely see I see Lacey winning, though. I see Lacey winning.
I
see Charlotte being the one. I actually see Becky two belts losing both belts.
I want her to. I just, by the law of nature that she's this, how hot she is right now, and the fact that she just won both belts, I can't see them killing her like that. Yeah, that's the one thing. It's like, that would be a – I mean, she still would be popular, but that would be a huge blow to her momentum, because it's like she's on fire right now, but that would kill her. It's like, whoa, like, I thought she was good and she lost both belts. She was talking all that smack and lost both belts.
Yeah, that would be bad, man. That would be bad.
I'll give you that.
Because even though I will say this, to me, and this is not hate, to me, she's already petering off a little bit. To me, it just seems like something, she's still hot, but something's flat about Becky.
Yes, I agree.
Like I said, it's not hate. It's really feeling like something's flat. I don't know what it is. It's not flat to where you got to kill the whole thing off and take both belts from her. But I do feel that her sustainability is going to be better with her on one show than two.
I'll tell you what it feels like. It feels like Goldberg after he got tased and lost to Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
And he came back, but it was different, you know?
Yeah, like, that's a great comparison, because Goldberg was never the same after that. He never even won the belt again. That's something where I look back now, 20 years later, it's hard to believe that was 20 years ago. But 20 years later, you're kind of looking at it and you're kind of like, huh, they didn't even give him the belt. Like, there was never no climb back to the mountaintop.
Yeah, right.
Was just everybody else got it after that. Right. And then when WCW tried to do their youth movement after that or whatnot with your Booker T's and your Jeff Jarrett's and all, it was too late. You know? Like,
right.
It was too late. The youth movement they should have had. Yeah, the youth movement they already had, I mean, already had on the roster was already gone. Jericho, Benoit, Guerrero, Saturn, Malenko were already all gone.
Yeah.
All they had was Booker T. They had Scott Steiner to an extent, but he was already getting older, and he'd already been in WCW for so long. You know, it was like, they. And then they tried to run with, you know, Natural Born Thrillers and, you know, bring in some of these other guys. But it was like they weren't established and they needed a star now, and they just didn't have it.
Definitely that. Let's go to this one real quick. Shane McMahon's steel cage match versus The Miz. Who you got?
I think Miz wins this one. I think they gave Shane his bone at Mania. I think Miz gets this one. it's hard to see Miz losing again.
Yes.
Yep.
I agree. I agree with the Miz. I agree with the Miz as well. Elias versus Roman Reigns.
Roman.
Yeah, I can't see Elias winning that. Unless you're really trying to establish Elias as a legitimate top guy on SmackDown, and even with help, I can't see Elias winning this one. I think Roman wins this. I do. Roman's been getting jumped too many times by them. It just feels like Roman's gonna win.
Then we move into the Money in Bank matches itself. Let's start with the women's. Who wins the women's Money in the Bank?
Ember Moon. That's what I'm going with.
Who are the participants?
Ember, Carmella, Mandy Rose, Bailey, Naomi, Natalya, Alexa Bliss, and Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke is my dark horse, though. I'll say that. It's something about Dana that I could see them throwing her that bone and really being like, okay, sink or swim, here's Money in the Bank. I could really see them doing that.
To piggyback off of what you just said, I'm going with Mandy Rose. I'll be her dark horse at any pay-per-view, and I'll be happy
there
to throw her a bone as well.
There you go. Right there. I served her a silver platter. There it is. Right there. Go ahead, Gilo. I'm sorry.
I'm going with Alexa Bliss. I think she's two-time champion. I think Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss wins back to back.
There's storylines behind this because I'll put it this way. If Alexa wins, I think Alexa's turning face. I really do. It's just, as good as she is as the mean girl, I think there's money to be made with her as a baby face now that she's established as a legit star. I think there's money to be made with her as a baby face. So if Alexa wins, I think she eventually turns babyface. Mandy Rose is also somebody I can really see winning that for the same reason as Dana. Throwing her a bone, it's like, okay, here it is, sink or swim. You know, kind of like what they did with Carmella in a sense. They threw Carmella the bone. Carmella ran with it. She ran with it. She was great as Money in the Bank.
She did. She ran with it. I mean, I could see Dana Brooke. I would be mad if Dana Brooke won. I mean, you got a lot of new faces, and a lot of people that can get a lot of rub from this. But I'm going with champion. It depends on placement of this match, the Money in the Bank match. It goes to placement of the match between Lacey Evans and Becky Lynch, and the placement of Charlotte and Becky. Because I wonder if they're going to run these back to back. That after she finished the Raw, then she go straight to the SmackDown, and then you know if you had the Money in the Bank beforehand, you know somebody's cashing in if she just did three matches. I'm just saying.
Right. That's the other thing, too. You're right. No, that's exactly what Champ Cree was talking about. It's like, okay, boom. What's the order of these? Are they running back to back? Is she getting a rest? Like, I could see it where, you know, the authority, in a sense, kind of sticks it to Becky. That whatever match is first, Becky barely wins it. Like, with Lacey Evans. She barely wins, boom. Lacey hits the woman's right after the fact. And then here comes Charlotte running out with a referee.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Ooh. And not only that, Nick, but you know what? That'd be overkill burial of Becky. Becky wins against Lacey Evans. Lacey knocks her out. Charlotte runs in and beats her for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And then Becky gets cashed in more.
All in one night. You could run that. So it's so many storylines that you can run with Becky Lynch in the women's championship, which I like. And then, you know, maybe I read too much into it. If you put the Raw before the SmackDown, does that mean the Raw is more prestige than SmackDown? If you put SmackDown before Raw, does that mean SmackDown is more prestige than Raw title?
I don't know. It's getting blurred now pretty much anyway. But the other real question is at this point is, pretty much now, are we all in agreement that she's losing at least one belt? I can't see her losing.
Yes. She loses at least one belt. and we don't know which one yet. But I think either Ember Moon or Alexa Bliss is my call. I don't see Naomi anybody else. Champ Mandy Rose to me will be the dark horse. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke are dark horses.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the men's Money in the Bank. Who wins the men's Money in the Bank, since we know now Sami Zayn is in there and Braun Strowman is no longer in the Money in the Bank because Sami Zayn defeated him on Monday night in a Falls Count Anywhere match? We have Sami Zayn. We have Baron Corbin. You have Finn Balor, which I forgot was the Intercontinental Champion. That's all. That's
in hey, but you know what? Now that you say that, that's somebody, because we've forgotten he's even in the match, he may very well win it.
Yeah.
He may very well win it. I'm going to go with my pick. My pick is Drew McIntyre. But there's a case for Finn Balor. There's a case for Baron Corbin. There's a strong case for Baron Corbin, actually. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
There's a strong, but I think Baron is so hot right now that he doesn't need Money in the Bank. I think he'll eventually challenge Seth Rollins outright. I already spoiled my pick as far as that match, but yeah, I think he'll challenge Seth Rollins outright eventually. I don't even think he needs Money in the Bank. I think Drew doesn't need it either, but I think it helps his character. So I'm going with Drew.
Yep, I'm in agreement. I'm going with Drew.
I'm going with Sami Zayn. Because I think they high on Sami Zayn. And I think
I just don't like him.
Well, yeah, that's him. But you know what I'm seeing?
Well, listen.
I don't know if you've seen this in the dirt sheets, guys, but they're saying that Sami Zayn is the on-air voice piece for Vince McMahon. That everything he's saying is pretty much exactly what Vince McMahon wants to say to the fans.
Oh. Wow, I haven't read that.
That coincides right with what Glenn G-Lo was saying, was that they're high on him right now, and I think they are. I really think they are.
Well, I'm just going to say I'm glad he changed his hat.
You're wild.
You're wild. Hey, it could be EC3.
Oh, don't get me started.
I know. Hey, fellas, let's wrap this one up, man. We got our picks here. Money in the Bank. I think it's going to be a great show.
Whoa, wait. We're forgetting
the last main event.
Oh, my bad.
which
one did I miss?
The Universal Championship? Good.
Nobody cares about that. I missed it on purpose. Nobody cares about that match.
Nobody cares about Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles?
Nope.
You can't save yourself for this one, Glenn.
You can't play it. You can't kayfabe us.
That's why you got
you
editing.
Screwed
this
up.
Be, this would not
you
be,
screwed
not be
up.
So anyway.
Yeah.
But now, let's go to the main. I really did forget about that, though. I'm probably just me. I forgot about the Universal Championship match. AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. I'm not invested. I'm not a big Seth Rollins fan right now.
He stole your woman, Becky. Is that
no.
that's why Champ's not invested. He stole his girl, Becky.
Hey, I moved on to be Mandy's dark horse, man.
Universal Championship match, man. Seth Rollins or AJ Styles. Who you got?
I already said it anyway, but I'm going Seth Rollins. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going with Seth Rollins. I feel this is a very predictable pay-per-view.
Except for the Money in the Bank. Except for the Money in the Bank.
Matches are not predictable, really.
Right.
Those honestly, because I went against what I normally – usually I try to throw darts with somebody off the wall. This one I didn't. I pretty much went with kind of the seemingly favorites, which are Drew McIntyre and Ember Moon. I went with them, but I could see those going two different ways. Put it this way, 2013, did anybody really see Sandow winning Money in the Bank for SmackDown?
No,
I did.
Why, because you liked his bathrobe?
No, because, like, I know that he's the type of guy that Vince likes.
Yeah, he was like, hot at that time. I mean, you
and wait,
see
and hold on, going
really.
Off of that premise, wait, going off of that premise of the guy that Vince likes, maybe Sami Zayn pulls it off.
Yeah. You never know.
Wait, and there's one more match. There's one more match that you failed to mention, which is the most important match in pop culture. Who's going to win the Iron Throne on Game of Thrones Sunday night while everybody's watching Game of Thrones and a few people will be watching Money in the Bank? I'm putting my money on Sir Braun of the Blackwater.
Well, I'm a Money in the Bank watcher. I'm not a Game of Thrones watcher. So you've got my
money. Me neither. You on your own.
I'm
going to
do just like you on the 205. No comment.
Yeah.
Like this is some, hold on, like this is some obscure show that only like 50,000 people watch. Yeah.
No,
we're
the obscure that don't watch it. You're right. We're the obscure that don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm just here that don't watch it. Sorry.
Yeah, well, listen. I guarantee you that somebody's gonna leak the reveal. They're gonna spoil it at the pay-per-view. Are you going, Wiz?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got a buddy of mine that's gonna be in the audience, and I bet him 3-1 that someone in the audience is gonna start a Game of Thrones chant while Money in the Bank is going on.
Oh, absolutely.
I can see that happening. Hey, closing thoughts, fellas.
Absolutely. We're getting a good pay-per-view this Sunday. I think it leads into it's going to lead into other things going into the big show in August, which is SummerSlam. We'll have a twist and turn sometime in July during the downtime of everything, to where it's just nothing going on over the summer, so you get some kind of twist. I'm looking forward to a good Money in the Bank. Always good every year, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to Money in the Bank. Hope there's a good cash in. Hope we get a cash in this year at Money in the Bank, whether it's men or women. I think we do walk away with a new champion, a couple new champions.
And my final thought is it's amazing what changing your headgear can do for your career, because that Samuel Jackson reverse flapjack that Sami Zayn had on his head, nothing was doing. He puts on a Scully. He skyrockets to one of Vince's favorite guys. So keep that in mind, all you guys in the Performance Center.
And with it, take us home.
Please, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End the story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. Catch you next week.